You might like to turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our Father and God, thank you very much. Thank you very much for just to be able to say thank you very much. So looking to you, Spirit of God, to outwork that which you do, the way you do it, how you do it, etc., and everything else that goes with it. So God, you got to help us, all the different things and all the different needs, in 100 different ways, and no one else can even handle it, God, to even consider it, except you. So thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And you are conscious, I know, if you're saved, God has a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. He had that plan before you were ever created. And when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God commences that plan. He commences and begins. Now, having said that, for us in this age of grace, and what do we know in God's will? 1 John chapter 5, we know in verse 13, God has written down in his word for us all the things that we need to understand so that we can withstand and go forward. God has done that. He's written them. So while we read it, we read the formulas and the recipes. Now, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, purpose, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we want God's will. That's what we're looking for. He heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We want God's will for our life, and so does God. And if that's what we want, and we're looking for God to do it, then God's going to do it. He has made a commitment in writing. He did it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God has a wonderful plan. God has to outwork that in our lives. So we come, we go, work, work, home, school, coming and going. That's what we do. And as we do that, then we're doing it. Now, God, are you involved? Can you really work this out? Therefore, illustration, going back to Israel, God's awesome commitment and the lessons Israel needed to understand. God has a wonderful plan for Israel, and God is going to work it out. Israel needs to understand that and have a commitment to God to work it out. And God has a commitment to them to work it out. So therefore, a lesson, going back, knowing us, here we are now. God, I'm interested in being reminded of your involvement in making us winners, making us succeed, making it all come out pleasing in your sight. Now, therefore, Back over to Joshua. And reminding ourselves. Now, what do we know? God has a wonderful plan for Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Israel. God has a wonderful plan. God has a wonderful place for Israel. And that place is in Jerusalem, Palestine. Now, having said that, so Israel is saved out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and now they're going to go, and God, they're ready, they weren't ready, they are ready, it's time, and they're going to go and cross the Jordan. Up till then, all of God's will is just as valid, just as wonderful, but they aren't ready. They aren't ready for it. You need to be ready. Moses, 40 years and 40 more years. At 80 years old, Moses is ready. You have to wait till you're ready. Here's the wonderful book of Revelation, and here we are. And those truths, wonderful, wonderful truths, are there. But you have to be ready. A different way to say it. Here we are in a Western civilization, industrial age, here we are, with all of the everything. So we need to learn to read, and we read bit by bit until we can read a little better. We have to know mathematics and all kinds of things. We don't go from the kindergarten to algebra. We don't do that. We have to get there. It doesn't mean you aren't going to have algebra, but you have to get there. You have to work to get there in order to have it. All of God's wonderful will for your life is there, but you have to get to where you can handle it. And God is very gracious and patient with us as we journey. Here's Israel. Israel is now ready to cross the Jordan. Lesson 1A. They're going to cross the Jordan. It's God's will into God's place in Israel. And they're going to do it. And God's directly involved. And there's going to be wonderfully, wonderfully good success. There has to be good success. It's God's will for their life. Now, and here we remembered, what do we know? Chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3 and that, verse 3, verse 2, 3, 4, gives us the location of the land. And in verse 2, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So what are they going to do? God has a wonderful place. The Jebusites, the Hivites, all of them are there, Philistines. But now God has that place. That's their place. And Israel is to understand that they, Israel, can go and take that piece of property. It's God's will. Now, it's what it is, God's will. God's going to make it happen. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, God is going to do. And you're going to have good success. Why are you going to have good success? Joshua chapter 1, 6, 7, and 8. Everyone, what you're going to do is look to the word of God. I'll read verse 7. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, the servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest, you might have good success. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. These things, 1 John 5:13, these things are written. In verse 8, the middle of the verse, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now, it's every place the sole of your foot's going to go, and I'm looking, you are guaranteed to be a winner. You're guaranteed to have good success. You're guaranteed. I give it to you. No one anywhere, no obstacle, no enemy, no opponent, no anything, nothing can interfere. I have a wonderful plan. God has a wonderful plan for us. Nothing can interfere with that plan. Hang on. Now, having said that, in every place that the sole of your foot shall tread. Over, if I can, to chapter 5. And we shared together in chapter 5 that the God is going to be there in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that ground, every place God has given them, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, God has given that place. And we shared together in chapter 5, 13, 14, 15, and in particular, if I can, verse 15. And the captain of the host of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, and we shared all that, the sole of your foot. He didn't get the shoes off, barefoot, as it were. You're putting it straight to the ground. We did all that in the light of Genesis 3. To girt, you belong, you're dust. We are dust. We're going to go back to dust. And the ground is the dust. We live off the ground. We don't get tied up in that. Now, so therefore, it's holy. The ground is holy. Every place that you put your foot is holy ground, wonderful ground. It's marked out. God has set it apart, made it holy, consecrated it in a most wonderful way. And now, therefore, they need to do what? Follow God's instructions. That's what to do. You're going to walk in the light, think of this morning. And you're going to go and follow God's instructions. Here we are looking at Jericho. Here's Joshua, chapter 5, looking at Jericho. Jericho is a walled-up city, double walls. And there's no way that you're going to go and conquer that city. There's no ladders. There's no way to do it. A double wall and all of that. It's just too hard. So God is helping Joshua to see the problem. But the problem of having God's will for their life, that isn't a problem, not to God. Joshua sees it. It looks an obstacle, Jericho, the walls, the enemy. We can't do it. We can't do it. We are unable. We aren't supposed to say that. No, to us it is not possible. To God, it is quite possible. And therefore, lesson, what are you going to do, Israel? Joshua, what are you going to do? Pay attention to the captain of the host with a sword drawn. You're going to do what? Look to God to be able to do what he does in a wonderful way. Keeping in mind that idolatry in the land of Palestine, God's going to take it over and make it his property, but it's full of idolatry and idols. And God is going to go and have to clean house and clean it, fix it up in a most wonderful way. When God saves you and me, when he saves us, what does God do? He saves us and takes all of our sin to Calvary's cross, forgives our sin. What else do you do, God, the moment I believe? You'll make us a new creature in Christ. Period. When? The moment you believe, I'm going to make you a new creation. Israel, the world, and the church. I'm going to make you a new creature, a brand new creation. Israel, you're going to go and take the land? Uh-huh. And God has set it apart in a most wonderful way. And so, God, you got to go and help Israel in order to succeed? Absolutely. And idolatry is going to be put on notice in the process. World system idolatry is Jerusalem, all the whole land of Palestine, the Philistines and the Jebusites and Hivites. They're all going to be put on notice. Everyone put on notice. God's taking over the property to bear witness to his wonderful name. That's what God's doing. So don't everyone understand in the world, I'm putting you on notice. I'm taking over. I'm not changing the world system. The world system, evil, dark, it is. What I'm going to do is take that piece of property and I'm going to use it to be in Jerusalem to show the light, to give light into the world of darkness. What are you doing with us in the church age? Acts 1:8, you're setting us apart and having us believers hither and yon, an assembly here, an assembly there, believers gathered together to be little lights in a very dark world. God, you're going to do it for Israel, and you're going to do it for us. Uh-huh. Now, God, you're going to go and do it. Now, Israel, the opponents, the obstacles, the enemy, are there giants and chariots of iron, etc.? Now, how are we going to do it, God? Now, what did you say? You're the captain of the Lord of hosts in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, therefore, Israel is to what? Now, the world's going to pay attention that idolatry is put on notice, that God is going to bear witness to it in a day of grace until God's judgment. Israel is going to take heed to be able to what? To do what God said in the way God said it, to bear witness to the world. Israel is going to be a winner. Israel is going to have good success. Israel, it's going to work out. It's a terrible thing. There's no way for you to win until you understand God has made it all finished. You just have to, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, you just have to know that and go. And trust me, pay attention, my word, meditate day and night, pay attention to what I say and follow it. Now, and what am I going to do if you follow my word? Over to Joshua chapter 10, just to show you. God, are you going to be there? I am. Joshua chapter 10. And you recall, as we did the book of Joshua, remembering, if you would, chapter 10, sliding over to verse 14. And there was no day in day of Joshua, the sun stood still. 14, and there was no day like it, before it, or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, Joshua. For the Lord fought for Israel. Why? The sword is drawn. The world system, you and I are nothing against it. But you have to go. The world system has to understand God is going to make sure that his will and his word and the way he does it is going to happen. God's going to make sure. His sword is drawn. Now you're going to say, are we going to overcome? No. God is. God's going to do it. How did Israel win all of those wars? God had his sword drawn. He fought for them. Chapter 10, verse 42. And you will note the end, verse 42. And all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time. Because, how did he ever do it? Because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. That's why. It was God's will. God has the sword drawn. He isn't going to debate. There's no debate about it with the devil or anyone else. If it's God's will, that's what he wants. And that's what he's going to do. Israel, Israel, wonderful. Now, so you have to pay attention to God, pay attention to the recipe, and go forward. Back over to Joshua and chapter 6. And you would recall, if I can, chapter 6, picking up in verse 17. I'll read verse 16, a little context. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the walls have fallen down. Now God says that when I do that, the wall's going to fall down. I want you to know what you're going to do when the wall falls down. I want you to know what you're going to do. You're going to see, you're going to be able to look straightway into the city. Wherever you are, you're going to cross over that rubble, and you're going to go straight into the city. I want you to know what your assignment is. Verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messages that we sent. And verse 18, and ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing. The city's accursed. Let me keep going. Lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. So, remember, everything in this city that you're looking at it, everything is going to have to go. It's all accursed. To separate something from here and move it all the way over to here, to judge it, to take something sitting and then putting it over here to condemn it, to judge it, as it were. And that's what I'm going to take that idolatrous city with all of its idolatry, its cancer. I'm going to take it, everything in it, and I'm going to take it for myself. I'm moving it out. You can't have any of it, none of it whatsoever. It's all mine. It's accursed. Don't even think about it. And remember, you read in verse 19, but all the silver and the gold, the vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, verse 21, And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. Now, that's what their assignment was. God is judging the system. He's going to judge it in an awesome way. Now, hang on, if you get a little hung up on that, I want you to go all the way into tomorrow, into the future. And God's going to look down in the Battle of Armageddon. Awful lot of people. And God's going to judge them all in one shot. If you think that's something. Then you go back even before that. Here's the Genesis flood. Those people did evil continually. What did you do, God? I saved 8 people in the ark. All of them died in that flood. All of them. Why? They're evil. Bad. All they would do is contaminate forever. I took care of it. It's accursed. Now that's accursed problem. It's judged. So don't take any of it. Take nothing. What's going to be the problem? Well, back over to chapter 7 and in verse 1. And in chapter 7 and in verse 1, if I may, picking up. And the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. They went and took something. They had no right to take it. It was God's, and it was condemned, and God put it aside, and they had no right. God told them, don't take that which is condemned, that which is accursed, that which is idolatrous, evil. Don't do it. If you do it, back over to chapter 6:18, you'll condemn the whole camp. You'll all pay a price. So don't do it. Don't do it. A little bit. What's a little drop of poison in the big pitcher of water? What's a little drop? But everyone that drinks it is going to have the poison. Don't touch anything. Leave it. Leave it. Therefore, God's telling them, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1, and a thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. God was angry. He was very, very angry. And so therefore, in that process, God was there. And God had given them specific orders. Don't take anything. If you do, you will suffer. That should have been enough notice. They're winners. But you know, the winners can be losers. They can lose. They can lose. God has a wonderful plan for your life and our life, each of our lives. But if we choose, that plan can disappear in the sense that we never own it. We never experience it. How do you mean? God says it clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. You will be saved as by fire. That's all. They could have wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, but I want you to know they're going to be saved. But they're not going to be unsaved. The winner can't be a loser, but a winner can be a loser. That's right. But they can't be a real loser because they're winners. You can't lose. You have to be saved. Because why? Because Christ is in the heart and Christ isn't about to leave. He paid a price for it. So therefore, God's going to go and do a wonderful thing and save them. Now, but as by fire. By fire. That's all. Peter, say it to us another way. If the righteous hardly be saved, hardly, with difficulty. If the righteous are saved with difficulty, what about the unsaved? Trying to save them. You got it. So God was saying, winners are winners, but they can be losers. Now, having said that, here's Achan, and God is very, very angry. Angry, and God's going to exercise his anger in an awesome way. Now, having said that, over if I can to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 32. And in Exodus 32, picking up the thought, remember they have the golden calf that is made, and God is very, very, very angry. And he would start all over again with Israel, and Moses intercedes, etc. Now, having said that, God's going to be gracious. And they pay a price for that golden calf, that's for sure. They paid a price for it. And that's going to haunt them, because that business of wanting to have something or someone other than God over us, so that we have a little different like the world, a golden calf, it's going to haunt Israel. Haunt them. Why? Because in their gut, you're going to keep seeing it arise. Israel is going to want something other than God. Israel, instead of going to God, it goes elsewhere. Now, having said that, now, over to chapter 33, we have the opposite. What do we have in chapter 33? And remember now, God is going to go, and God's going to go and do what he does in a most wonderful way. And Israel needs to understand something. So, what did they need to do? Israel did not go to God. They had the battle of Jericho, they won, and they were all encouraged. Hang on. They were wonderful there. And then there they are, 13 miles away is the city of Ai, 10 miles north of Jerusalem, 13 miles north from Jericho. And there is Ai, city, not like Jericho, but a city. And the spies go in and check it out and said, yeah, there's nothing to this. Look at what we just had. Look at what we just did in Jericho. And none of us died. We didn't die. Here we all are. God. And we did that to the whole city. There's nothing to it then. This whole business of trusting God and having God, and we're winners. Oh, yay, we can do it. And so they went, as you know, Joshua chapter 7, and they went forward. And they didn't go to Gilgal. They didn't go to headquarters. They didn't check with God. They didn't remember Gilgal is where the stones, the 12 stones out of the Jordan, and the 12 stones in the Jordan. And they needed to always remember the basis of their wonderful success is based on the fact that God, they crossed the Jordan in a unique way, and they were to trust God with all their heart, with all their soul. They were to look to God, and God would give them his wonderful working so that they could succeed in a most extraordinary way. But in the process, they forgot, and they didn't check with headquarters. They didn't go to God. Hang on. Now, they should have gone to God, and they didn't. They're going to pay for that. God's going to have to help them. God helps us in all kinds of ways to help us to do things, to do and help us in 100 ways in all the things that he does, his personal care in everything. I'm going to give you a silly illustration. I probably shouldn't. Personal. I have to take these special drops, syringe and all that stuff, every 2 hours. So I have to do that. And in the process, I'm so trying to do stuff, and my mind gets caught up, and time goes by like this. And if Jeanette has alarm, and I told you all this stuff. Now, the other day, I had it. And I said, oh, it's almost time. It was 11 o'clock and not 12 o'clock. I'm supposed to wait till 12 o'clock. And I went and I hurried and hurried, dropped what I was doing right in the middle of what, looking at something. I got to go take that medicine. And it's 11 o'clock and not 12 o'clock. So, and I get the thing ready, fill the syringe, all that stuff to go do this. And I do it. I'm in a hurry and I'm trying to be on time and everything, which is what's required. And in the process of doing all that, and I went to go and put the stuff in my eye. In the process, I hit a little table in the living room there. I hit the table with my knee. I hit the table, and I knew I hit the table, and I pulled my pant leg up, and there's the blood all coming down. And I said, I got to take this blood. I can't, and Jeanette knows, she said, everything's bloody, see, so I have to try to hurry and keep it from being bloody. So I went to the bathroom, doing all this stuff, and doing it, and I tried to fix the thing and put it there and come get my thing. Now, and I did it. And then I looked at the time after I did it. Now, what did you do, God? I had you hit that thing to stop you, but you didn't pay attention. You just were so intent on trying to get that dumb medicine that you went ahead anyway. I tried to help you. I had you hit your knee to go and have to fix it, but you didn't pay attention. You didn't, you stoop, you see? You understand that? That's personal. Isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. God does his things in the most wonderful way. I'm trying to, that's my life. That's your life. And you're looking for God. Now, God, you're going to do that for Israel. Uh-huh. If they want it, they're supposed to be winners. They're supposed to pay attention to what I told them. But they didn't do it. So Exodus chapter 33, on the opposite chapter 32, with the golden calf, and Israel going back, picking up, please, chapter 33, picking up if I can, I have to read, I guess, verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said, verse 15, unto him, if thy presence go not with us, with me, carry us not up hence. I don't want to go without you. Joshua chapter 7, they went without him. Moses, I don't want to go nowhere, God, without you. I don't want to go anywhere without you. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and they didn't go. They didn't go back to headquarters. They didn't go and understand God saved them and God was going to be their God. God would fight for them. God has already given them the victory. But they had to go and follow the instructions and do what God said the way he said it. That's what they needed to do. Follow my word. Honor my word. These things have I written unto you, that you might know you have eternal life. Verse 14, 15. These things have I written unto you. If you ask anything in my name, you want my will. I want my will for your life. You want my will for your life. Therefore, that's an agreement between us. The minute you said that, you wanted it, it's signed. You already have it. but I haven't had it yet. No, you will. You want God's will? Yeah, I do. Then you'll get it. In my time, in my way, on my terms, you'll get it. It's a guaranteed thing. So no matter what, God, it's there. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, into the land God does and has its go up, and they did all that, remember? And in the process, Joshua chapter 7, and in the process, the winners are losing. Why are they going to lose? Because they said, verse chapter 7, verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, these are the spies coming back from Ai, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people have to go and get dressed and go to war. We don't need all of them. Just take a couple of thousand, because it's nothing to us. Look what we just did in Jericho. The trouble is, you have left God out. You have left God out of the picture. You can't leave God out of the picture. And they went up, of course, and you remember, verse 4, and they went up to the of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36. We said that, shared that last time. They could have had, God could have had 36,000. God could have had 1,000 of them killed. God just allowed the men of Ai to kill 36. Of 3,000, God allowed 36 of them to get killed, just as a reminder. That's what he did. God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So, and they came back and they got all upset. That's the problem. They lost the battle because they didn't look to God. They left God out. You can't leave God out of the picture. You can't do that. Now, having said that, so there's a danger. What's the danger? The danger is with trifles, little things. They're too little to bother with. A little too little to bother with. We don't want to bother God. It's too little. Nothing's too little. And I remember, again, personal, probably shouldn't bother saying it, but with my father. And my father said 100 years ago when I was visiting at home up in Boston, visiting, and my dad was telling me, he said, yeah, we were talking about it, and he said, yeah, I have a problem with my teeth, but I don't bother God with the teeth, they're too little. And I said, Dad, there's nothing too little for God. There's no such thing in your body that's too little. Your fingernails are his. Your eyes are his. There's nothing too little. And if you start doing that and you leave God out of this little thing, pretty soon you leave God out of the next thing. And you leave God out of the next thing. And you leave God out of the next. Because you didn't. You said, well, it doesn't bother God. I don't need God for that. God, I'll call you when I need you. You should have been paying attention to God, because you leave him out of the picture. And you pay attention to the little trifles so that you, when the big things come along, you're already in the mood to look to God. You don't want to proceed. You don't want to go forward without God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So there's nothing too big for God. There's no such thing as any obstacle in God's will for your life. There's nothing too big. If God wants it, God will do it. Nothing too big. And there's nothing too small. There's nothing too small. So don't say, well, I don't want to bother God. No, you'll learn to bother God. so you live very God-conscious in everything, and God watches over us and helps us, and that's what we do. That's His assignment, to make sure the will of God for your life and mine is outworked on planet Earth. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind if I can, so therefore we want to go forward. And what do we know about the end of the age? In Revelation, in chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, 15, 16, 17, what the church, the existing church system at the end of the age, where we are right now, says what to God? We don't need anything. We have everything. God will call you if we need you. And God said, you don't know your condition. You're wretched, poor, blind, naked, etc. And you don't know it. Well, God, we've got everything. Everything we need. We fit into the system more and more, for better and better. The world system, the church system, Revelation 17, all of it is there. Ah, that's the end of the age. So here we are. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to go and look to God. Over, if I can, in closing, over to Zechariah again. In Zechariah, picking up. And you will note chapter 4. What are we going to do, God? We're going to go and look to you. And Israel needed to honor God's word and be consistent. They are not going to be. And just to show you history, you know it. That disobedience of Achan that cost them the Battle of Ai is going to show up. You say the little thing doesn't know. The little thing grew till they went to the Babylonian captivity, the Assyrian captivity, and where they are today. A little thing, they say it doesn't matter. Wrong. God, that's why God judges Achan, and God helps Israel. We'll look at it. God helps Israel to see that pile of stones that Achan is under. See that pile of stones. Don't forget it. So you'll learn from it. Why? It'll help you. They didn't learn. What are we doing? Here we are, Zechariah. Here they are in the days of finishing the temple. And in the process, this is about 30-something years before Ezra and Nehemiah. And in the process, what do we know? It's just a temple. It's nothing like Solomon's. But, verse 10, you know it, for who hath despised the day of small things? Don't despise the day of small things. Trifles. It doesn't matter. No. Everything matters. God is to be honored in what you eat and what you drink and what you do. We're to do it, 1 Corinthians 10, to the glory of God. That's pretty personal. Every time we pick up the water, etc., and get a drink. God, thank you. Thank you. God conscious, whatever you do. God, that's what you want. Uh-huh. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't do it. You'll lose out. And you won't understand a personal God like I tried to share with you. And my God's also personal, wonderfully personal, and so is He to you. And you need to understand that and start living like that, and you'll find God's very, very personal and knows what He's doing. And He helps us. And he has to say, you're an awful stupid adult, but I'm going to help you. Do you understand? God has to help me. I don't know what I'm doing anyway. God knows. And God's doing. And closing, John 15, verse 5. What are we supposed to be doing? Believing. And the will of God is to be outworked because God's doing it, not we. God has to help us. And what are we saying? Abide in me, and I abide in you, like the branch and the vine. And understand this. God, a unique branch to the tree, and the branch just in, the snow may come down, the branch doesn't care. The branch doesn't care. It lives off the tree and the life in the tree, and the branch just enjoys the life of the tree, as it were. And what are we supposed to do? John 15, 5. We're supposed to enjoy our wonderful relationship we're to have to God. You abide in me and I abide in you. And without me, you can do zero. Don't even try to be a branch. I could take a branch right now. Once I take it off the tree, it loses everything. No, I don't want to go off the tree. I want to stay attached. Israel, that's Israel, that's for us. Israel was to understand every place that the sole of their foot should, God would give them. But they didn't. The losers are winners. But the winners are losing. Why do the winners lose? Because they left God out. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace. Thank you very much for loving us, caring, God, helping us in every way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Spirit of God, honor our Lord. Deal with our hearts and our heads, and let us begin to just find a wonderful resting in an unrestful, troubling world. And our God, we're going to look to you with thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen.